right, welcome back, everybody.
What was that? What was that first thing?
It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. Arsenio Hall is with us. Before we get into this topic, I'm going to show you something here.
Okay.
Real briefly, and you tell me what it is.
Now you have an envelope, envelope there.
It's a business envelope. You see the back of it. Here's the front of it, real quickly.
Okay.
And what is it?
Well, it said do not destroy, so I'm thinking maybe it's some kind of important tax document around this time in
April.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. Now look at it. See what it says down there? It says Form 1136, return enclosed. Yeah,
right.
It's a tax form, right?
Right. I can kind of, you know, when you're my age, you can kind of tell.
And you got the big window there.
Yeah.
So I'm in tax trouble, right? So I open it up, and I go, oh, you know, my heart's skipping because I wonder what
you think you're going to be audited or something.
Yeah, what kind of tax trouble I'm in. And I got to fill out this form.
And the weird thing is it says something about Wesley Snipes at the top of this.
Now read what it is.
Republican Senate. Oh.
It's the Republicans who want money from me. They sent me something that looks like a tax audit.
Yeah. I think they use this paper and this font a lot at the government.
Yeah. But why would they send me something like this?
For exactly the reason.
To scare the hell out of me.
And you didn't throw it away?
I didn't throw it away.
You opened it wondering what you have to do.
But I'm not going to give them any money.
Yeah, but they got you where they want you. At least now if you were, you had the propensity to give McCain some money, they got you.
Yeah, but now it looks like, I mean, you know, it's a real big turnoff. I mean, it looks like a tax audit, and it scared the hell out of me. My wife's like, oh, Christ, we're, you know, being audited. Not that I, you know, we have anything to be worried about because I got a great accountant.
Right.
But it looks like a tax form.
It's like when I told you the police pull up behind you and you haven't done anything, but you still get nervous. You know, you saw that.
Especially
right
when
in.
They go to the computer and they start putting in your license.
Oh, yeah. You're like, uh-oh.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Going on a ride, man.
Wow.
And you know, when the cops do follow you, they know when you make a left where you're not supposed to be making a left, right?
Yeah.
Like when a cop's following you and you're like, all right, I got to shake this guy because, you know, I might have had a beer or two, or I might have a warrant out, so I'm going to casually make a left here, and he won't know it.
Yeah.
They know it.
They pull you right behind you. They told me I was going too slow one time.
Is that right?
Yeah, pull me over for that. Gentlemen, is that a suspicious behavior or something? Yeah.
Now you can go on the air, right? You're not with LAPD anymore. All right, let's put it in the blue microphone here. This Detective Rudy Alvarez.
So officers who are active cannot talk?
I know some of them don't like to.
Department, you have to, you know, say the right things, or you can't comment on some of the policies and things like that.
Yeah, but Detective Rudy Alvarez was with LAPD for how long?
33 years.
And you just retired?
Just retired.
Good for you, man. Well, 33 years. You ever shoot a guy?
No.
You ever get shot?
There was a gunshot, but we didn't know where it came.
They shot at you?
It hit the building above us.
Wow.
That was when I first got on.
Bad vibes.
Like about 2 weeks into the department.
Yeah, now Detective Rudy came out of, you were in Vietnam.
I was at Thailand.
Oh,
Thailand.
Oh, you always told me stories you were in Vietnam.
No. I was in Thailand.
I've been in Thailand.
We were special troops at that time.
So it was just like an hour.
We were like the backup.
Right. They never backed up.
But they never called us, so we just had fun in Bangkok.
And now, Rudy comes from LAPD for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you first started, there was no radios in the cars.
No. In fact, if we got in trouble, we had to make sure that we got back to the car to get that radio.
Right.
You send a midget to the station, right? Run! Get back up!
But you had to go to call boxes to get your calls?
Call boxes sometimes. There was, we would call the station.
Was there any treats in that call box when you're buzzing?
I've heard about them, but I've never seen it myself.
Bottle of whiskey or something?
It's cold weather.
Detective Rudy has some great stories. These guys who are retired with the LAPD, they have, you know, million stories of, you know, being, especially, you know, being in harm's way for 33 years. And one of the great stories he told me was he was on a diet. And, you know, he was trying to lose weight. And I guess, LAPD wants you to keep in pretty decent shape in case you got to run after one of these dudes.
Yeah, you want to look like Willie used to look.
Right.
What was Willie's last name?
Williams.
Yeah, Willie Williams. he used to have to carry his gun in a holster around his neck.
Willie from Philly.
You all took his gun when he got here. You all would not let him keep his gun when he first arrived.
Because he couldn't pass the tests for the guns. He couldn't qualify.
Is that right?
So he had to give his own. He had to give himself a concealable weapon permit.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, now again, Detective Rudy Alvarez is with us, LAPD, and he's just retired. But there was a. Oh, I was telling you the story about Detective Rudy's dieting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's on his second or third day of dieting. You know, eating lettuce and basically an apple here or there. He pulls a guy over. And for I guess suspected drunk driving, and he rolls his window down, and Detective Rudy says, "Sir, could you please step out of the vehicle?" And the guy says, "I'm not stepping out of any vehicle." He grabs in through the window, grabs him, and jerks the guy out of the car through the window. And his partner goes, "Hey, we need to get you a sandwich, man."
We went to Tommy's Hamburger that day, and I ate two burgers.
This guy needs a sandwich,
man.
He's
hungry.
And then, now, you were at the funeral for the SWAT officer, is that right?
Yeah, for Randy Simmons.
Yeah, for Randy Simmons. That was a bad deal. That happened out in my about a mile and away, a mile and a half away from where I live in the valley.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, there's a lot of cops, a lot of helicopters and stuff all night long, sirens all night long. And this poor guy goes out to Winnetka, and he was the first SWAT officer to get killed. And you went to the funeral. You attended the funeral.
Yes,
and there was a huge, like almost a standing ovation when they introduced Chief Gates.
Oh, Chief Gates. Oh.
Now, what was that about? Was that because he created the SWAT team, or because he was just
that
so liked?
And he was just the greatest chief that we ever had.
He was the cop's cop.
He
was the cop's chief.
You know,
you all loved him.
Right. You know, if he told you to do something and you did it, and then they would get some bad feedback on it, he'd say, "I told them to do it." He would always defend his officers,
That's pretty cool.
Always took the blame if that's what he told us to do.
Hey Rudy, he made me chief of DARE for a few years. I worked with him
for
a while. I offered him a joint once, and he says, "Okay, I got to find you a different job."
No, but he's still the chief, no matter where he goes. Well, that's very good.
Fox in the hen house over here, chief of DARE.
My thing was like the kids shouldn't do it. Save it for us.
Yeah, exactly.
And, it was an adult DARE kind of position I had.
Right. And then it was a great program. There was officers that would go to the classes and the kids
and teach.
Would, about to stay away from drugs and things like that. And
yeah, just say no. Now,
when
you were with LAPD and somebody back in the old days, you started in the 70s,
74.
And somebody ran from the cops in 74. There were no police helicopters, or there were no news helicopters. There was no videotape, and those guys knew that they were going to get their ass kicked, right?
Right. If they run from the cops, they knew it.
That was a rule of the street.
Right.
Exactly. We had that in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Exactly. You run from we tell them, don't run, run.
You make me chase your ass with all these donuts in me, and I'm going to hurt you. Okay?
Yeah.
If I have to carry these winchos over the fence, your ass.
You're going to pay for it.
Yeah,
exactly. But
not anymore.
And that's the way it was. The gang members knew this. Nowadays, the gang members go right to internal affairs and say, "Oh, this big, huge cop beat me up. Well, what did you do?" "Well, I kicked him and I hit him." The cops can't do anything to people nowadays, or these warnings or anything like that.
And occasionally, Detective Rudy Alvarez would arrest a. Some young kid who was Hispanic, and he would say to him, "Hey, man, we're both Hispanic. Why don't you let me go?" That nothing irritated you more than that.
Oh yeah, when they say, "Hey, brother, we're the same race. Can you give me a break?" And I says, "No, you just beat this lady to hell and took her purse. You're not my brother."
Yeah, she's my sister, but you're not my brother.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by, Detective
sure.
Rudy
Anytime.
Alvarez. Man, you're not going to get a classier dude than that in LAPD, and then LAPD misses a lot of those guys. I wish you were in the car yesterday when that guy pulled me over, just taking that guy. I know.
I just couldn't believe that. The thing is, the rookie cops, as a training officer, you're supposed to teach them the different ways of the laws and all that, and especially traffic tickets. But this one, this was
I got nailed for
unbelievable.
Real
ticket. If you ran a red light, almost ran people over and all that.
Oh,
I can
if I was drinking and driving or threw a cigarette or something.
Exactly. But making a U-turn, come on.
Now, if I didn't sign the ticket, let's say I get pulled over LAPD and I said, I'm not signing that ticket, what happens?
Well,
the captain comes out?
They could take you to jail for that, for not signing the ticket. Remember, the ticket is just a promise to appear.
Oh, I see.
But if you don't sign it, then they could take you down.
You better have Miles L. Berman in your trunk.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Do you still you still fit in your police uniform, right?
Well, you mean my detective uniform?
Which is the CNR
suit. I mean, not
did
my...
Did they let you keep it?
Yeah, it's mine.
Can you throw that on when I go to court and
I'll drive out there again?
I'll
be your spokesman and all that, and I'll tell them what I think.
Yes,
Don't take him if you're hungry, though.
Then you'd probably go to jail with me.
All right, Detective Rudy Alvarez, man, he's getting paged.
Ironically, he's carrying the phone that they used to use on Petticoat Junction. They're the phone up the pole.
It's Chief Bratton telling him to shut the F up. Please.
Well, he can't say that.
Yeah, no, you're a private citizen.
Exactly.
Look at you. All right, folks. The other night we had some audio. I think it was last night we had some audio from the Jay Leno show. The Tonight Show comes on at Channel 4 every night, 11:35 or so, somewhere around there. And on Thursday, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be on. But last night, or two nights ago, it was Norm MacDonald. And Norm MacDonald was talking about gambling. He had a very funny story. Here we go.
Let me ask you something. I've known you for years, a long time. Yeah. You used to be a big gambler. Are you still gambling?
No, I quit. I quit gambling.
You did?
Yeah. It was too tough, man. It was too rough. When I was young, man, it was like crazy. I remember when I first moved to L.A., and my mom and my aunt came. You met my mom.
Yes, I did.
And my mom and my aunt came, and they said, oh, we want to go to Vegas, ooh, you know. So I said, oh, yeah, we'll go to Vegas. They didn't know I was like this degenerate gambler.
Right.
So at the time, I had $4,000 in the bank, right? So I said, I'll take $3,000. You know, so I could have a nest egg.
You want to take your three quarters of your savings anytime you go to Vegas. I think it's a good rule. Yeah.
So I go there with my aunt and my mother, and we're checking into the Excalibur Hotel, and we're in line, and all of a sudden I see some tables over there, you know. So I say, hey, I'll go over to the tables, and you guys check in, and I'll be right back, you know. So I run over to the blackjack table, you know, and I have my $3,000, you know. So I bet $50, and I lose. And then I bet $50, and I win. And then I bet $50 and I lose. And then I bet $50 and I lose. And then I bet $2,950 and I lose.
So now you have no money.
Yeah, so then I come back and they're still like checking in.
That is classic, man. They're just checking in. The guy's all tapped out.
Norm's a funny guy, man.
Yeah, he really is. He's hysterical.
And we got to get Jay on here. You got to let me return my calls. From a voicemail on the air sometime.
Can you do that?
Yeah, we call some people back. But in all seriousness, we should get Jay. We should get Jay next week.
Will Jay call you?
Yeah, let's talk to him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Excellent. He called us here once before when I was doing the show with Steckler.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him saying, hey, it's Jay Leno. The easiest talk show to get through to is this one.
I remember that.
Because nobody ever calls.
I remember that. Phones are always ready for
you. Yes, they're always open. Speaking of open, they're open right now. Your gambling story, how quickly did you get your ass kicked in either Las Vegas or one of these local casinos? Here are the phone numbers, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, I was telling the story last night. I went to Las Vegas with about 20 of us. We all turned 21 in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Vegas with a friend of mine named Jeff. I won't give you his last name because I don't know whether he's in prison. And we were checking in the hotel, and, you know, we were all going to split rooms. Back then, when you're 21, you get two guys to a room, you get two beds, you know, enjoy yourself, you know, save some money. So I'm checking in. And before I check in, I see him, and the security guards have grabbed him and thrown him out of the Aladdin Casino. Threw him right through the door.
Ooh.
Didn't open the door. Just pushed his face in the door and threw his ass out on the sidewalk. Took a picture of him and said, you're never coming back here again.
Wow.
And so I ran over there and he's dusted himself off. I said, what happened to you? He said, the dealer, you know, I had 15 and she gave me a hit. She gave me a 10 and I thought that was unfair. And I said, oh, that's really unfair. And I said,
this is a friend of yours, too?
Yeah. I said, that's all you did? He said, yeah. And one of the security guards is standing there. He says, no. He called her the C word.
Ooh.
Three or four times.
Ooh.
And that doesn't happen in Vegas. And so he's out. And they took a picture of him. They said, "You ever come back, we'll arrest you." I thought to myself, on what grounds? You know, for swearing? But I guess you can't do that.
That goes
Bad
back
vibes.
To that freedom of speech thing again. You know, we protect hate speech.
Yeah. Here's another bad beat Vegas story. I was in Las Vegas, and I'm playing craps. I was there for about an hour, and I have a couple $1,000 with me. And I'm rolling craps, but I'm betting on the don't come. I'm betting that I bet this, you know, the roll the seven before I roll the number. And I keep hitting the number. I keep hitting eight, nine, tens, you know, boxcars, 11s, keep rolling the number. And eventually I'm out of money.
Yeah.
And the stick man takes the dice from me. And everyone's at the table is like, no, give him the dice.
But that's the guy with the cane?
Yeah. Give him the dice. The guy's on a roll. And they go, we can't let him roll. He has no money left. And I'm the first guy I ever know that's been on a roll in craps. And I got I was tapped out by my own roll. I beat myself in craps. Bad vibes, man.
Yeah. You and that lady from AT&T.
Yeah. Now, do you gamble when you go?
No. When I go, you know, I make weird trips to Vegas. Me and my boys went about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And
now, when you say that, who is then? Who's your boy?
Well, it was actually me, Miguel Nunez, Johnny Gill from New Edition, Eddie.
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, otherwise we have to fly commercial. Eddie.
Well, when you fly with Eddie Murphy, it's on a private plane.
Yeah.
And is
yeah,
it
you know,
his own plane?
All the ballers got plane. Yeah.
Does he own the plane?
No, that's not his. Magic has a plane.
Magic has his own plane?
Travolta has a plane.
Look at that.
You know who not only has a plane, but when you roll with him, he flies? Kenny G.
He actually pilots the plane?
Yeah, when you go someplace with Kenny G,
Jesus Christ.
He says, let's roll, you know, he actually gets in the cockpit. And
he's the dude, huh?
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
He play that horn when he's doing that?
Sometimes he puts it on autopilot and he'll play Songbird on the soprano sax.
Oh,
man, make you start shooting in a plane, man.
All right, so when you go with Eddie Murphy, it's you guys go top shelf with everything, right?
Yeah, you know, we all pitch in. Except he pitches in like 80%.
Right. He pays for the plane.
Yeah. And
is it a big one? It's like a G3 or G2? I mean, you're like 10
yeah,
of
it's
there?
A pretty big one. But keep in mind, this is a special occasion because we all had birthdays around the same months and we decided to go and hang out. But it's weird. My partners don't gamble. We go up there and we do that club thing. But you can spend $10,000,
$15,000. Oh, yeah, right.
In tryst.
Right. Are you happy that Eddie Murphy is still single?
Well,
were you at the wedding that blew up in Mexico?
No, that wedding was just a ceremony for spirituality. It was a spiritual bonding ceremony. And there was going to be another wedding here in the States.
Didn't happen.
Didn't get to it. Get to it. She should have had the ceremonies in the reverse order.
All right, Kang. It's how'd you get your ass kicked in Vegas, and how quickly did it happen? Here are the phone numbers. 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. With about a minute left at the Staples Center, the Los Angeles Lakers are winning 122-103. So it looks like they got this game wrapped up. They'll be ahead 2-0 on Denver. And Arsenio Hall is with us. It's the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. I do. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show with Arsenio Hall, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM.
My job is to show Tim things on the internet while he does a radio show. I just showed him Heather Mills nude without her leg.
Yeah.
Without
well,
her left
good.
Leg. She looks great. And you know what? Now I get it. There was a time I would go on stage and I would do bits about why he married her and all
right.
that money he had to pay and she didn't even have two legs. But now I look this, and maybe you tell me if I need therapy. That turns me on, man.
The legless?
Yeah.
A stump?
Yeah, because, look at the leverage and imagine the things that can go down.
Yeah, but she's got to constantly hold herself up. Look at that.
Well, how often do you stand on a staircase and make love? I mean, she's going to lay down. Hopefully.
I know, but I imagine if she hops around like that, there's a lot of farting that goes on. And plus, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like the two legs. I like the two legs, though. You know, the ones that go all the way to the ground.
So let me ask you a question.
I don't think it's that hot.
Okay,
what would you do with the stump?
I'm a freak. I mean, I'm just like, I'm looking and I'm saying like, this leg, first of all,
it's just in the way sometimes, you know, so I don't know.
She's actually one leg away from having her own Dorf video. Dorf on marrying the Beatles.
You know what? Me and your dad are laughing really hard right now.
Yeah.
No, that's maybe I'm a freak. Maybe I'm a freak, but that turns me on.
I don't know, man. There's something wrong with you, I think. All right, folks. Norm MacDonald just told a very funny story on Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. And he talked about going to Vegas. He only had 4,000 of his name, went with $3,000, and lost all $3,000 before he even checked in the hotel. What's the quickest you got your ass kicked? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Mark in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Where are you?
Hey.
Hey.
On the radio.
You're exactly right, sir.
Hello? I'm about to be on the radio. Hello?
Who's the radio?
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the radio. Hello.
See, when I'm in my car, this is what I like about radio.
They couldn't
radio.
Get together. There she is. Hello. You there?
Huh?
All right. Tony in North Hollywood, you're on 97.1.
Give them a prize.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, man.
Arsenio.
Dog.
All right, guys, so trip out. I'm in Vegas, right? I went to a wedding with my ex-girlfriend and whatnot. And, you know, you do the wedding thing, and I'm not a big gambler myself, but we had went into the Aladdin, and it was under construction. This was last fall in October sometime. And when you just chill at the slots, you know, the Aladdin, the penny slots, the chick will bring you a drink. And, I mean, they just want people in there due to the construction. So on our last night there, I walked into the Sahara, and I thought it was going to be the same deal. And I was asking for the drink, and the chick was like, nah, you can't have any unless you go into the big spenders, you know, the big spending slots. So I was like, all right, cool. So I whip out a 50, I walk over to like the $10 slot places, and I zip it in. I'm thinking, you know, because it's all electronic. Like, you don't get like the coins. You don't get excited when the coins. Yeah, like, it gives you a voucher or a ticket, right? So I blew it right in front of her just to get a free drink, man, on my last night in Vegas. And that was supposed to be gas money, dude. And that's it. I was screwed for the rest of the trip, man. I had to beg my girlfriend to give me gas money to get back home.
Oh, Bubba. That's the word. Why don't you just go buy a drink?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Yeah, but the thing is, they give it to you for free if they see you gambling, man. They don't want you to get up. So I don't know. I thought.
All right,
just, like,
dude. All right, thank you. Hey, hold on one sec. We're gonna give you something here.
All right,
since,
cool.
Since you're down to your last $50, not quite the story I was looking for, but a four pack of tickets to see the Los Angeles Avengers take on the Arizona Rattlers.
Wait, are you sure you have those tickets?
I think so. Do we have those, Sammy? You got them?
Those are real hard to get, man, those
Avenger
tickets.
I know, especially when the Rattlers are in town. May 3rd at the Staples Center, it's nonstop fast-action football. Go to LAAvengers.com for all the latest arena football information. It's wow. May 3rd, man. The Rattlers are in town.
And Samantha, I know one of you guys in there better check that, because I don't know about people giving away Avenger tickets.
Oh,
is that
tickets
possible?
In there. Oh, yeah, wow. I got four tickets in there. Yes. Got them in the prize booth in there.
Who's the big star for the Avengers?
A guy named Kirk Gibson.
You know, if you say anything with confidence, you can sell it. You can that Conway setup.
I'm not sure. But no, their quarterback is the big guy there. Jerry knows his name. What's his name?
Elway.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Hey, wait, have you talked to Jerry about gambling? You ever had a conversation with him?
Yeah, he's a complete degenerate.
Jerry, tell Tim.
Yeah, he
your
walks
theory.
Around. By the way, this guy walks around, and you cannot have a guy turn off chicks more than Jerry Gomez. He walks around with a Commerce Casino hat on, a bada bing shirt that he got at Hollywood Park, and then he's got a tote bag from Santa Anita. Right, everything says complete.
Covers my boobs, man.
Complete degenerate gambler. He's got a shirt on that has a racing form on the side. It looks like he's carrying a racing form around. But if the look wasn't, you know, enough to, you know, to make chicks run, he's now has gambling all over him. And that's not the way to roll, dude. Hey, what was your theory on gambling, Gomez?
Tell him I'm gonna give him a lot of money because he convinced me that he could win.
What's your theory?
My theory on what?
Gambling.
I don't have a theory, like a set theory on gambling.
Tell him about your website.
It's not my website. It's he's talking about sports betting. And I was saying how, all right, you can find, for instance, like if you took $100 a day, okay, and let's say you put $20 on five different bets. Now, this isn't a big bet, obviously, but let's say you put $20 on five bets and you hit three out of five of them And, you know, on the $20 bets, usually they pay like $18. You're not going to make, it's not even money for most bets, but they pay 18 bucks. So if you bet on, you know, five separate bets for $20 each and you win three of them, you're going to be up for that day. But it's easy to pick three bets a day.
Why don't you just win. Pick three? Don't pick five.
Well, because you can't
barely stand listening to you because everybody on the planet has had gambling theories and they're all in Gamblers Anonymous or they're all living under the freeway on the Reseda overpass. It doesn't work, dude.
So you and I are so different.
That
Tim.
System would work if you stuck to it exactly.
Get out of here, dude.
And didn't bet parlays.
You're the only guy that's ever come up with that.
I'm not
system.
Saying that. All I'm saying is that if you stick to that and do that exact thing, then it would work. But you always got throwing parlays and make it exciting.
Get out of here, dude. You're out of control.
Tim, call me a sucker. I'm giving him a Halliburton briefcase full of money tomorrow.
You know what? I was gambling up in Oregon, and I've been going to the track since I was literally a year old with my dad. My dad would take me down to the racetrack, usually Santa Anita or Hollywood Park or Del Mar. And I've been going to casinos in Vegas since I was like 16 or 17. I've probably been 1,000 times in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was up in Oregon with my wife's family, and I went to a casino one night, and I came back, and I lost $300. And I said to her father and her father-in-law, I guess her stepfather, mm-hmm. Her mother just recently got married. And her stepfather says to me, right? Again, right. I'm 44. I've been going to casinos and gambling since I was one.
You're
so
a vet.
Do the math. It's 42 years, right? Mm-hmm. You know what he says to me? Hmm. He says, you know, Tim, he says, I never go to Vegas with more money than I'm willing to lose.
Hmm.
And I said, do you think I've never effing heard that before? You think in the 42 effing years that I've been going in and out of these casinos that nobody's ever laid that on me? You think that's the only time I've ever heard that lame ass theory? I never go with anything more than I'm willing to lose. I almost jumped across the table and choked him out.
That's like if you sleep with Divine Brown, wear a condom.
Right. It's like somebody coming up to you or Jay Leno and saying, "Hey, I got a great knock knock joke." It's like, don't you think I heard that one before? Or a Michael Jackson joke.
I'm going to say, who's there right before I stab you? Who's there?
All right, let's talk to a Mark here in Los Angeles, see what this guy's up to. Mark, you're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How you doing, Tim?
Tim. Hey. Mark. How are you?
All right.
Listen, I was driving home, actually, from a 12-step program for gambling. And
how long have you been in Gamblers Anonymous?
I'm not supposed to promote it, but in and out of the program for about 5 years.
Right.
And it's life, you know, it's a lifesaver for a lot of people that are out there.
Well, I bet it is. I'm not getting down on it, and I think that, you know, the people have a major problem like that. It probably does a lot of work, a lot of good. But you know what? I always wanted to go. This is my fantasy. And tell me how irritated you would be and other people at Gamblers Anonymous would be. I'd like to go to a Gamblers Anonymous meeting and say, hey, my name is Tim, and I went to Las Vegas. I've never gambled before, but I went to Caesar's Palace, and I won $50,000. And I was so high that I won $50,000 that I quit, but now I'm afraid that I'll gamble again, so I want to go to Gamblers Anonymous so I never gamble again because I'm up 50 grand on one day. Wouldn't you guys all approach me and just want to kick the crap out of me?
Not really. No, we would be happy that you were in the room. You know, if you got there that quickly, it'd be amazing. But unfortunately, people don't come in winning. They come in devastated.
How much did you lose?
I would say, you know, the number's really not important, but if I had to put a number, it was probably $500,000 in a 3-year period.
You got no problem, dude. $500,000 in 3 years, please. Call us back when you really took a hit. What's wrong with you?
Anyway, you know, that's the story. This poker thing that just, you know, hit by storm everybody. Right. That's what, you know, I was never a poker player. I was always a Vegas player.
What'd you play?
I played everything. I played craps. I played, you know, blackjack. I played, you know, if the rain was falling on the window, that's what I would play. You know, how fast the drops would come down.
What's the biggest hit you took in a day?
You know, it was devastating. It was enough. It was enough. But it doesn't really matter. At the end,
I know, but if everything doesn't matter, then the call doesn't matter.
$200 meant more than the $10,000.
Right. But, I mean, what's the biggest win you ever had?
In one session, probably about $30,000, $35,000.
Good for you, man. Wow. That's when you should have quit.
Yeah. But I didn't. But I quit now, so that's good. Life's good now.
All right. And now, do you drink at all?
I don't drink just because I never was a drinker. Never, you know.
Smoke weed or anything?
No, you know, I grew out of that too. So, trying to live a normal, sane, happy life.
How do you take the edge off? What do you? How do you lose reality every night?
I don't have to lose reality. I'm high on life.
Get out of here. I'm tired of listening to guys like that. I don't take the edge off. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't gamble. Wow. I don't swear. I don't do pills. How do you get through life?
He should deal with the chick I've been dealing with all day.
Guys, I just love reality. Reality's so effing great. All right. When we come back, we'll have more of your phone calls and give out more tickets to the LA Avengers. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Arsenio Hall's with us. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, call Tim Conway Jr. now. 520-9710.
This guy's awesome.
The Tim Conway Jr. Show on 97.1 SoCal's FM Talk Station.
No, this is the Tim Conway Show, and I'm Arsenio Hall, right. Which means it must be Wednesday.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. Tim Conway Jr. Show. Arsenio Hall is with us every Wednesday. You coming back next Wednesday, too, dude?
Hey, man, if you let me in here, I'm
coming
back.
Yes. All right.
This has grown on me.
It's always a good time every Wednesday. It's like, you know what I equate it to? And you probably can relate to this, but, you know, because you're from Cleveland, you probably did this. But did you ever have bowling night?
My family did.
Yeah, and they really looked forward to it, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
I look forward to this, like, bowling night. You know, it's like, hey, this is cool. Arsenio's Wednesday. That's bowling night for me.
The show has really evolved into a fun thing. Now, Tuesdays, are you going to do what you did last night consistently?
Yeah, Gary Kasem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So every night, people have somebody they can look forward to. Nobody is pretty as her. She's fine. She's a beast, man.
Pretty hot. And then on Thursdays?
A friend of mine used to date her. You want to know who?
Yeah. You say it on the air?
I got to see if I can get some money out of her first.
Oh, okay. All right. And then on Thursday, we do Jesse Jackson. And then tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and I think he's staying till 11 o'clock, Frank Kramer is coming in from Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Cool.
And then on Friday, Danny Bonaducci will be sitting in for Sam Phillips. And then Sam will be back next week. So lots of fun here.
And Sam's going to do Fridays consistently?
Yeah. Occasionally, you know, if Danny Bonaducci is available on a Tuesday, he'll sit in for... Kerry Kasem, if he's available just on Friday, he'll sit in for Sam Phillips. And hopefully Sam won't get too irritated by that.
You know what's good? You know what this says? You cannot miss the show because you never
you
know
never
what's going to happen.
Man. All right, you ever got your ass kicked quickly in Vegas? Let's talk to Greg in Redondo Beach. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hi, this is Greg. Yeah, I had both the stories happen to me in one night and then a kicker. So I'm going to try that martingale where you double your money if you lose. So you bet two, and then so you bet four. And they always say, well, don't do it because you get to the limit. I thought, well, that can't really happen. I'm just betting a couple bucks. I'm doing it two, four, I lose. And kind of back and forth just for about like 15 minutes. And I was amazed how fast it happened. Within 15 minutes, I had lost bets in a row and was at the limit and couldn't bet anymore. It was like $500. And so he goes to 256 and 500. Blew that as most of my wad. So I kind of lay off for a bit. And then quickly we go to another place. And so I'm upset about that. And I'd been drinking while I wasn't gambling. And I start losing. I mean, just lame things like I got 20 and she draws 21 on 7 cards. And I've got 18 and she draws 19. So I start cussing. And I'm like, guys. And they're saying, you have to watch your language. I'm going, women do. When did women start getting in card games? That's the problem. If it was all men, I could cuss all I wanted to. And I'm next thing I know, there's a goon on each side of me. I'm ushered out. And the most embarrassing, I'm with my boss. I've had this job for like a week, and we're kicking this thing off in Vegas, so I'm embarrassed to death.
Oh, man. Hey, hold on one sec. We're going to make your night better here. 4-pack of tickets to see the Los Angeles Avengers take on the Arizona Rattlers. That's May 3rd at the Staples Center. It's nonstop action, fast action football. Go to LAAvengers.com for all the latest arena football information. You know, real quickly, there was a guy who signed with the Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. I think it was about it was like 1940-something, 1950. And he didn't want a salary. He just wanted a penny for every home run that he hit, and then that doubles every time. So he got a penny, then he got 2 cents, then he got 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and it went up, and he had like 45 home runs and made like $12 million. And I got to look up who that was, but it was it's an amazing story. All right, Darius.
Sounds like something Obama would kind of come up with as far as economics.
Right, yeah. All right, Arsenio Hall is with us. It's the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 3 FM.